This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haider, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is The Full Story.
It was one of two really awful interactions with healthcare I had. She barely looked at me. I tried to explain that the PCOS symptoms were getting worse, but I felt sad and helpless. But I can remember, even now, the disdain in her voice as she said to me, "Should we talk about the real issue? Your weight."
When The Guardian asked readers to share their experience living with PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, dozens and dozens of women from around the world responded.
Their suggestion for treatment was to go and get pregnant and stop complaining about it because millions of women go through menstruation.
One doctor even told me, after doing all the blood tests as a teen, that I'm fine and I should eat more vegetables.
I didn't see a doctor for a long time. In fact, the next time was maybe 10 years later, which led to my diagnosis of stage 4B incurable endometrial cancer.
PCOS is a hormonal disorder that, according to the World Health Organization, affects around 10 to 13% of women of reproductive age.
I lost so much trust in my body. I thought it was just how my body worked.
I'm now 42 and I still want to scream, and it's extremely upsetting thinking about how much I've lost in just trying to survive on a day-to-day basis.
But it's estimated that more than two-thirds who have it don't know they do. The name of the condition has in part been blamed for the poor treatment many patients experience, and women's health experts say it's misleading and outdated. Now, it's officially being changed.
Experts who've led this name change say that for too long, the name PCOS has reduced what is a really complex, long-term hormonal condition to a focus just on the ovaries and on a misunderstanding about cysts, which was contributing to misdiagnoses and poor treatment.
Today, Assistant Science Editor Donna Liu on why PCOS has been renamed and will a new name lead to better care. It's Thursday, the 14th of May.
Full Story is supported by AMP Super. There are moments in life where everything shifts. A new job, a new home, a new direction. But those same moments can also shape your future. AMP calls these super moments, times to check in on your super. And with 24/7 digital financial advice, AMP Super helps you make more confident decisions as your situation changes. Search AMP Super Moments to find out more. AMP Super, built for life's super moments. AMP Super, issued by NM Superannuation Proprietary Limited. See PDS and TMD on amp.com.au and consider what's right for you.
Donna, welcome back to Full Story.
Thanks for having me.
So before we talk about the name change and how it's really been a long time coming, you put a call out to readers to share their experiences with polycystic ovary syndrome and getting diagnosed. Hundreds of people responded to that call out, and some of the stories are pretty shocking and sad.
Yeah, we had an overwhelming response, really, over 300 responses from people across Australia and the world who have been affected by this condition. Lots of really harrowing stories. One of the ones that stuck out particularly was someone who was diagnosed with PCOS at age 14. She talked about how she felt out of control of her weight and her body, and that, you know, she had hair growth that was impacting her life and affecting her self-esteem and body image. But what was quite awful was that the interactions that she had with medical professionals, she went to a GP and tried to explain that her symptoms were getting worse. And the GP basically said, "Well, let's talk about the real issue, which is your weight." And it really seemed to dismiss the fact that this condition makes it easier to gain weight and makes managing weight harder to deal with. And as she said, she found it difficult to express how deflated and pointless and humiliated it was that she'd gone to seek help for the condition and that she was being effectively blamed for it.
Mm.
So was there a common thread? What was the common thread or threads that they shared about their interactions with healthcare professionals and trying to get treatment for this condition?
One of the common threads that we saw was that lots of women had trouble getting a diagnosis in the first place to begin with. Some people took years to get accurately diagnosed, and a lot of women talked about their symptoms being written off as other things or being brushed off as unrelated, even though in some cases they clearly met the criteria for diagnosis. So there's a lot of misunderstanding or poor understanding from people in the medical community. And others were frustrated by doctors only focusing on their fertility. Some were told it wasn't really an issue unless they were trying to get pregnant, and others were put on the oral contraceptive pill to regulate their periods because irregular periods is one of the frequent symptoms of the condition. And then there were also women who experienced weight stigma because health workers didn't appreciate that the condition can make it easier to both gain weight and also make managing weight harder. And so some women felt like they were being personally blamed for it, even though the condition makes it harder.
Mm-hmm. Donna, you touched there on how PCOS is misunderstood and sometimes misdiagnosed. In recognition of that, its name will be officially changed. Can you explain what the condition is and that key criteria you just mentioned?
So PCOS is a really common, quite complex metabolic or hormonal disorder. It affects 1 in 8 women, so that's about 170 million people worldwide. In adults, there are 3 key criteria that you have to meet 2 of in order to be able to be diagnosed. The first criterion is lack of ovulation or less frequent ovulation, which presents as irregular periods. The second one is physical or biochemical signs of hyperandrogenism. So all women have androgen hormones such as testosterone, but women with PCOS can have an excess, which can show up in blood tests, but also as symptoms like acne and excessive hair growth. That's criteria number 2. The third is something called polycystic ovaries on ultrasound or elevated levels of anti-Müllerian hormone. So I'm going to unpack that a little bit. I'll start with the AMH. AMH is often described as a measure of ovarian reserve, how many eggs you have left in your ovaries. And women with PCOS typically have a higher level of AMH than other people of the same age. So that's the hormone bit. The polycystic ovaries on ultrasound bit is the bit in the name PCOS that experts say has actually contributed to confusion and poor understanding of the condition. So I'm going to step back. Basically, what normally happens every month when a woman ovulates is that at the beginning, you've got lots of eggs developing at the same time in these fluid-filled sacs called follicles. But usually only one of these follicles matures and gets released, and so one egg is released every month. But in PCOS, because of hormonal imbalances, what happens is that these follicles can get stuck in arrested development. They stop developing. So what you end up with is these lots of follicles that on an ultrasound look like cysts. And it's typically described as a string of pearls appearance on an ultrasound. But the thing is, in PCOS, you don't actually have abnormal cysts. And the name is a bit of a misnomer because true ovarian cysts can enlarge, they can bleed, and they can require surgery. But in PCOS, you actually just have these multiple follicles that are there kind of sleeping. And basically, the push to rename the condition has been driven in large part by what experts say is an undue emphasis and focus on the term cystic.
Mm. Okay, let's unpack that. So it'll now be known as polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome. Why is that name change significant, and how will that change or improve things for patients?
So this is a name change that has been more than a decade in the making. And the researchers, notably Professor Helena Teed at Monash University, she's been quite instrumental in driving this global effort to change the name. Experts who've led this name change say that for too long, the name PCOS has reduced what is a really complex, long-term hormonal condition to a focus just on the ovaries and on a misunderstanding about cysts, which was contributing to misdiagnoses and poor treatment. And they say that the renaming to PMOS, polyendocrine metabolic ovarian syndrome, as you've just said, really reflects the complex and true nature of the condition.
And it was initially named in the 30s. How has understanding of this condition changed since then?
So when doctors first named the condition in 1935, they thought it was a disease of the ovaries. We now know it is broader than that. It's caused by an imbalance of hormones, specifically insulin and androgens. A lot of people with PCOS, about 85% of people affected by the condition, have something that's known as insulin resistance, which means that your bodily tissues become less sensitive to the effects of insulin on the body. And as a result, you might have things like an elevated blood sugar. It also means that people with PCOS are at increased risk of type 2 diabetes. And because of the broad hormonal effects of the condition, it also means that you can have an increased risk of cardiovascular disease. It also impacts mental health, skin. So it's much broader than just a focus on the ovaries and the reproductive system, even though it obviously does have reproductive impacts.
So it is a whole body hormonal condition, and that's not always understood that way. Donna, medical misogyny or medical gaslighting are terms that people have used over recent years, terms that refer to the way that healthcare spaces have historically neglected, dismissed, or overlooked and even underfunded women's health. How much has this change come about because of women speaking out, becoming increasingly vocal about their negative experiences and diagnoses?
I mean, there's really been a groundswell of people speaking up, people who are impacted by the condition. And I think what's so significant about this name change is that it wasn't just an idea that experts came up with and have unilaterally decided to impose upon the tens of millions of women affected by the condition. So this change actually involved 56 medical and patient groups in 6 continents and the input of thousands of patients who have been directly affected by the condition. I think that's really important, particularly for something of this scale.
Donna, the symptoms of this condition are so varied. What are some of the consequences for patients who are misdiagnosed? How can that impact their treatment and their health?
I think particularly for people who don't get the diagnosis, there may be things that are written off as unrelated symptoms that could have impacts on their health in the long run. So we know that people with PCOS are at increased risk of endometrial cancer, for example, because if you're not having regular bleeds and you don't have a regular period, you're not regularly shedding the lining of your uterus. And so the reason that often people with PCOS, if they're not trying to get pregnant, a reason that they're often prescribed the pill is to ensure that they're having regular bleeds. But in terms of the other management of the condition, we've talked about how it makes gaining weight easier and it makes managing weight harder. But, you know, ironically, one of the first line recommendations for managing the condition is a healthy diet and exercise, because weight loss, about a 5% reduction in your body weight, can also increase the regularity of your menstrual cycle.
The name they've settled on, Donna, is a bit of a mouthful. How did they land on that name? Why has it taken so long, given a name change was floated decades ago?
Well, I think given the amount of consultation that they've gone through, it's unsurprising in some ways that it's taken so long. They wanted to be sure that the name that they settled on was something that both accurately represented the condition but wasn't going to unduly stigmatize people who have the condition. It is a mouthful, although, you know, the abbreviation is quite similar to the previous name, PCOS. So now PMOS, we can break it down a little bit. So polyendocrine basically means multiple hormones. And so if you think about the key hormones involved, you think about things like insulin, androgens, so that's that component of the condition that is it's focused on. Metabolic is really referring to, you know, metabolism, our ability to turn food into energy and the way that's impacted by imbalances in the hormones. And then ovarian is still in the name. It does affect the ovaries. Irregular periods is one of the key symptoms. Not all women who have PMOS will have irregular periods, but many do. So it really is to reflect the complexity of the condition and recognizes that that metabolic dimension without undue focus on just the ovaries.
We'll be right back.